All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Thursday afternoon podcast. We have another staff meeting that we're not going to be able to do our normal pastor's meeting, so I asked Joey to come in here and look at an article with me that was not on sermonaudio.com, although it probably needs to be. And it's about this character by the name of Al Sharpton. And if you watched any news in the last week, this guy is everywhere, all the time, grabbing a mic and really stirring up racial hatred. Now, he would never say that. And in fact, I'm probably going to be branded as a racist for saying that, Joey, to even suggest for a moment that that's what he's doing. But the reality is he's inciting division. Mm-hmm. And he's called Reverend. Normally, reverends have like a church or something. I mean, isn't there something normally associated with reverends?
Yeah, he's called a pastor. The article says he's a says he's a deadbeat preacher. And we would assume that he preaches somewhere. And I'm looking on Wikipedia, which, you know, Wikipedia is what it is. But I'm not seeing a church that he's actually pastored. So he's from the American Baptist Association. So someone ordained him. And but I don't really see really a whole lot about what he's done spiritually. As far as shepherding a flock of people.
Shepherding, that's kind of what reverends or pastors mm-hmm. do. Instead, he's got a non-profit organization that he's in charge of. I think it's in the article that I gave you from the New York Post, mm-hmm. which makes particular reference to the name of it.
Yeah. Let's see, you're talking about his company?
Yeah.
The National Action Network.
Right.
Yeah, non-profit National Action Network.
And this joker owes millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. The New York Times found out there's currently more than 4.5 million in state and federal tax liens against Sharpton for his for-profit business. Now, how in the world, let me back that up. How much money do you have to make in order to owe $1 million in taxes?
You have to make a lot of money.
I mean, it doesn't say his earnings were 4.5 million. He owes $4.5 million to state and federal taxes. I mean, so just say for the sake of discussion, let's say the tax rate was 50%. Mm-hmm. Then that means that there's $9 million worth of income.
Yeah.
That's basically where? What does he do to justify a $9 million worth of any... I mean, anytime I see the cat, all he's doing is standing in front of a camera just kind of talking with not even any real preparation or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... He definitely doesn't really seem to be interested at all in helping the community. I mean, I was listening to Al Mohler's thing today, and, you know, basically the idea here is all we're doing is we're not really dealing with issues. All we're doing is when something happens, we fly there, get in front of a microphone, and justify our existence and stir up more trouble. There's nothing going on between Ferguson, Missouri, the situation that just happened, the thing on Long Island, Staten Island. There's nothing that's happening between these two situations.
That should draw us to make this correlation that he's attempting to do.
Yeah, nothing meaningful. I mean, the president, you know, said yesterday, we need to have meaningful conversations and civil conversations, and we do, but no one's doing that in between these things, in between what's going on here.
Well, what prompted me to want to do a podcast about the guys, I was watching Fox News, I think 2 days ago, and the image was Al Sharpton in a pulpit on Sunday morning, and there's a giant African-American choir behind him. I mean, it was like six rows. This must have been a good-sized church, all in their choir. And he was just talking to the prosecutor about, he's talking to Ferguson, you may have won the first round, but the fight's not over. Don't take your gloves off. We're still in it. And I thought to myself, what preacher lets this guy get behind his pulpit knowing that he owes the federal and state government $4.5 million in tax revenue? I mean, how in good conscience, based on what you know about the New Testament, what you know about the Word of God, how does somebody like that get a pulpit, get a platform to speak from?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to ask that pastor. I mean, he's he's, as a pastor, I think he's probably trying to get people in his church. He's trying to make his church service relevant, I guess. Huh? We're going to have Al Sharpton. It's going to be packed out. We're going to hoop and holler and get excited. And then
go home.
And then he get a big offering. Lots of money thrown on the offering plate. Al gets a big payday. The church gets some money out of it, too. And that's it. And then you go out and eat.
And we think we did something.
And we think we did something.
The real issues are not being addressed.
No.
I mean, that's the saddest part about all this. The protest in Ferguson, the protest in New York. I mean, what happened in New York is unbelievably sad.
Yes.
And I'm surprised the guy was not indicted.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a hard time with anybody that's trying to justify what that officer did.
Right.
There were four guys, five officers standing there, and you had to put them in a – and the chokehold's illegal. You're not allowed to put them in a chokehold. So I feel for this family. He's a father, six kids.
Right. There's no doubt. No. There's absolutely no doubt that that's a difficult situation.
And yet this is New York, not Alabama.
Right. Right. In fact, the officer that was in charge at the scene is an African-American sergeant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's the one in charge. And she didn't pull the guys off and issue commands to stop and let the guy up or whatever. So, I mean, that's difficult to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we are, in spite of everything that we would say is repulsive of what happened in New York, we're still dealing with a situation in which the guy was not cooperative.
Yeah, he wasn't violent, but he wasn't cooperative. He wasn't following the law. And
yes, the law was petty. I got it.
Yeah,
selling cigarettes, I think they call them, what's the name of them, onesies or something.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, we got it. That's a stupid law. It seems to be a stupid law.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're the business owner in that corner.
Yeah.
I was just at Taco Bell running through the drive-thru, and there's a gentleman there, an older gentleman, walking from window to window at the Taco Bell drive-thru asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a part of me that wants to empathize with that, and there's a part of me that says, go get a job.
Yeah.
He's got two arms. He's able-bodied. And he wanted me to roll down the window, and I wouldn't roll down the window. And I waved for him to go on, and he got irritated with me. And I thought, I should be able to drive to this business, order something, without being pestered by somebody. Now, that may not sound very Christ-like. I got it. I understand what I'm working through that in my mind. You can definitely give me a comment on your thoughts on that. But there has to be a degree to which the compassion is also meted with the expectation that you work.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case in New York, just do what the officer tells you to do.
Yeah. And, you know, Al Mohler said something. We've got to make sure that these type of issues can go away to a large degree if people will follow the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walk on the sidewalk. Don't steal cigars. Again, don't know the whole situation. Don't sell illegal cigarettes. He's been warned. He says in the video, you can hear him saying, why do you guys keep harassing me? Well, because you keep doing wrong. Was too much force used? Yes.
There's no doubt too much force was used.
And
no doubt.
Maybe he can't find a job. Maybe he's been pushed to this thing because he wasn't able to get a job. I don't know. But that, you know, and it's the same with anyone. It's the same with any situation like this, whether they're white, black, they're Hispanic. If you follow the law, a lot of these problems will go away. Not all of them, because there's going to be exceptions.
So what we're dealing with here in this podcast is a gentleman who is, in fact, not following the law.
And he advises the president.
Right, and he's allowed to be in the White House. Now, I want you to think about that. He owes the IRS millions of dollars in the state of New York, millions of dollars, and he still gets a seat in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he wants a microphone, there's somebody there, CNN, NBC, Fox News, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They should just shut him down.
Yeah.
The man has no credibility outside of the microphone that's placed in front of him at a press conference. He can't get one outside of that.
No.
He has nothing, and yet we as a nation continue to give him legitimacy.
Yeah.
And I have to ask why.
I think with Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and all of them, they want to make money. They need advertisers to buy airtime. So who does Fox News have on? Bill O'Reilly and Al Sharpton, polarizing people. Right. Not guys who at the end of the day are really concerned about working things out. Now, O'Reilly's written some good stuff, but at the end of the day,
they are polar opposites.
They're polar opposites, and people watch it. And I think it puts money in the bank.
Without any real concern for fixing the problems.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, it's just like I was talking to someone today, and I may get in trouble for saying this, but sometimes I feel like some of the guys on Fox News are the white evangelical Al Sharptons.
Right. I understand exactly what you're saying.
But you're not doing anything. You're saying what people want you to say, and nothing's being fixed.
Yeah, we're dealing with a man who owes all kinds of money. According to the New York Times, Mr. Sharpton has regularly sidestepped the sorts of obligations most people see as inevitable, like taxes, rent, and other bills. Sharpton repeatedly failed to pay off travel agencies, hotels, and landlords. A Treasury report found that only 1,200 organizations in the entire country owed more than $100,000 in unpaid payroll taxes, making Sharpton's group one of the most delinquent. Now, why in the world does he get to continue to receive this notoriety mm-hmm. when he won't do what taxpayers are expected to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, because I know that if I go 3 or 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, however long it is, I know that I'm going to prison. And if you don't pay your taxes, eventually that's where you're supposed to end up. You're supposed to end up in prison.
Yeah, Al Sharpton is a one percenter. He has a one percenter salary of $250,000 annually, not paying federal payroll taxes on its employees. So, you know, Joey, every organization that employs people of significance is supposed to send either monthly or weekly or quarterly taxes to the federal government. Sharpton is not doing that.
Yeah.
Bottom line, not doing that. He speculated that after MSNBC hired Sharpton, his annual income must have exceeded $1 million. It is incredible that Sharpton would continue to collect $250,000 annually from his non-profit organization while he's getting paid the $1 million salary mm-hmm. from MSNBC. Now just think, and he's a reverend.
Yeah.
What a joke.
He's a hireling.
A hireling, you're making reference to
John 10.
Yeah, and Jesus talks about my sheep and who cares for them, and the hireling won't do the job that the shepherd does.
I would like to think that if you're making $1 million as a commentator on MSNBC, you know, you tell the organization that you have founded or started to make real change, spend that money somewhere else.
Right. Right. I don't need that money.
No.
And so the article that I'm reading from is right to say that it's incredible that Sharpton would continue to collect taxes. And where is the African American community that says he doesn't represent us?
Yeah.
He doesn't speak for us.
He's not the example we want. We want our kids to be law abiding, good American citizens that pay their taxes and do what's right.
The article that I'm looking at goes on to make particular reference to others who are now in jail for doing less than what Sharpton's doing. So why does he get a free pass?
I don't know. Sometimes it just does not make any sense. You know what would happen if we were to put him in jail? What happens if they lock him up?
Oh, it'd be another example of racism.
Who are the people on the list? I'm curious.
Here's one. Republican, well, that opens up the mouth. Republican Albert Pereiro Jr., the ex-husband of District Attorney and Fox News host Jeannie Pereiro, was sentenced in 2000 to 29 months in federal prison for improperly deducting $1 million in tax write-offs. He spent 29 months in prison. So why isn't Holder going after Sharpton?
Well, they're buddies.
They're on the same team, aren't they?
Yeah. As soon as Holder gets done with his
attorney general
job, he's going to be traveling around with those guys. He's not going to be held accountable. He's going to resign. Probably nothing's going to happen to Holder. And now you're going to have Jesse, Al, and Eric traveling around stirring up trouble and not really fixing anything.
It says a quick Google News search reveals the latest American sentenced to prison for tax evasion owed significantly less than the amounts to Sharpton. A physician in Wisconsin was sentenced to a year and a half in federal prison last month for not paying, now listen to this number, Joey, $191,000. Wow. $191,000. In fact, the article goes on to say none of the amounts of these previous offenders even come close to the $4.5 million in taxes Sharpton hasn't paid. Failing to file tax return for a year in which taxes are owed is a crime punishable by a fine and a prison sentence for up to 1 year. If the failure was done willfully to evade taxation, it is a felony punishable by a fine and up to 5 years in prison. Sharpton apparently has been getting away with tax evasion for a decade. According to the Times, Sharpton's failure to pay taxes goes back to 2004 when his nonprofit underpaid the federal government $900,000 in taxes, which increased every year to almost $1.9 million by 2006. Think about the size of your organization if the federal taxes that you're supposed to owe is $900,000.
It's unbelievable.
If that's 10%, yeah, then you've got a $10 million organization's salaries. And what do they do? What constructive thing do they do that brings glory and honor to the Lord?
Yeah. What have they fixed?
Right, exactly. What church is he pastoring? Who's he responsible to? What deacons does he work with? What elders are part of his team? He should, from this point forward, never ever be referred to as reverend.
Yeah. What homeless people is he feeding in a soup kitchen? You know, what batters women's shelters do they run? What black youth is he bringing in the afternoons to mentor out from school so they're not out on the street in Chicago or L.A. or Atlanta? I mean,
who does he preach the gospel to?
Yeah.
The true gospel.
Not sure. He owes $208,000 with the Federal Election Commission for improperly taking campaign money and government matching funds during his 2004 presidential bid.
You remember when the cat was running for president?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you get all this kind of money, and you get money from the federal government to run from that, and he took that money and used it inappropriately.
Yeah. And he's 10 years later.
We're still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the resources to pay it off. When he was working for MSNBC, he was making the money. It's just exasperating the double standard.
Mm-hmm.
And the double standard, it needs to be talked about amongst... If you're an African-American male, the probability that you're going to get killed by a white officer is almost non-existent. We said this the other day on the radio, on the podcast, and we need to say it again. Yes, what happened in New York should not have happened.
White males have more of a chance of being killed by a police officer than a black African-American does.
Right.
Just due to the 12% of the population versus... You know, whatever
the larger percentage that Caucasians fit,
yeah,
there's a greater probability.
Yeah.
Yet, if you're an African-American male, the majority, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of African-Americans are murdered by African-Americans, of which they're not law officers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not law officers. And yet, we're dividing the country. I mean, we are significantly dividing the country, and guys like this are not helping. And our president is not helping matters much right now either.
Now, he says nice things, but at the end of the day, he's not doing anything to fix the problem. Black lives do matter. They matter in Chicago. They matter in the womb. But at the end of the day, these guys aren't doing anything to make black lives matter. If anything, they're reinforcing stereotypes. They're setting bad examples for the youth, and they're costing us millions of dollars as a nation.
The president wants to spend millions of dollars to train police officers to deal with delinquent children, and in particular African Americans. He wants to give them, I guess, better coping skills to deal with not walking on the sidewalk, to deal with what do you do when they don't stop, or what do you do when they advance, what do you do when they try to take your gun away from you. In other words, we're going to have two types of training. This is how you deal with the Caucasian, the Asian, the Hispanic. This is how you deal with the African American. Now, is that not creating division?
Yeah, it's racism. It's collectivism. It's one group over all these other groups.
And the issue is not with the law enforcement officers across the United States. Right. The issue is with particular communities and ethnicities that just don't want to simply do what they're told.
Yeah.
I'm speeding down the highway, 80 miles an hour. The guy pulls me over. He doesn't need a sensitivity class in how to properly deal with me to ensure that he doesn't incite me into violence when he's pulling me over for disobeying the law. I need a healthy respect for the law and fear for God's ministers to do what he tells me to do and to accept God's judgment for my disobedience at that given time. Yeah. But you're not going to hear that from Reverend Al Sharpton. No.
But that's what needs to be. We need to educate our children. Hutch, if you do this, if you rob the store, you can expect repercussions.
There are consequences.
And don't be mad when it happens. When you choose to live that way. I remember my dad having that conversation with me. Son, if you do any illicit things, you're going to have problems. And I'm going to be limited. I'm going to want to help you, but I'm going to be limited in how I'm going to be able to help you because you made a poor choice. And I'm not beyond making poor choices. White people make poor choices all day long. You know, my uncle was stabbed multiple times in downtown of Atlanta for running around with the wrong crowd. You know, and so when you make wrong choices, you increase your opportunity to have bad things happen to you. We're not dealing with Joseph type people in the scriptures who are righteous people doing what's right and being unjustly persecuted.
No, the gentleman who lost his life in New York is phenomenally unfortunate and is clearly an indication of problems. But it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And what I don't hear Sharpton ever addressing these issues from that side. I mean, you would get the impression from Sharpton that Michael Brown was inside his bedroom reading Huckleberry Finn, minding his own business, when the police came crashing into the home and murdered him.
And there are cases like that. Again, we're not denying that. But Charles Barkley, an African-American former basketball player from Auburn, played for a couple teams, the Sixers and the Suns and the Houston Rockets. You know, Barkley was on CNN, and they said, Charles, you're arguing against your own people. He says, look, if you do stupid stuff, you're going to get in trouble. You've got to learn to obey the laws. You know, he said, I don't think white police officers are out looking, trying to beat down black kids. These are cases where people aren't obeying the law. So he's saying, and Vody Bachman has said it, if you obey the law, these problems will go away. And then we're not teaching, you can't teach about moral responsibility and then expect. You can't teach about, Sharpton cannot tell, we just need to obey the law when he's not obeying the law himself.
No, he doesn't obey the law himself. He has a complete disregard for accountability.
And that's the irony of the article, the one that I have. By Melissa Klein. Sharpton demands accountability but still owes millions in back taxes. Well, you reap what you sow, Al.
And what's really unfortunate is that nobody has the intestinal fortitude to hold the man accountable. Because if Fox and CNN and NBC would collectively say the man doesn't get another second of free airtime until his taxes are paid, he would figure out a way of getting him paid faster than what he's doing now.
Yeah. And if the president would say, I'm not going to hear what you have to say until you pay back my government.
That's right. If the president would say, Al doesn't get another seat in the White House until my commissioner from the IRS tells me, sends me a text and says, Al's all paid up, he's off. 84 visits is the number that Fox said, I believe. 84, 88 visits in the 6 years that the president's been there. One of those times he ought to have been locked up and thrown in jail until he paid his taxes.
He had the opportunity.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And really nobody cares.
And this just shows again the bias of the IRS. Dinesh D'Souza went to jail.
Right. Right.
For less than this.
Yeah, we would love to see the statistical analysis between whites and blacks when it comes to the enforcement of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not intending to incite division. That is attempting to show that we do not have an impartial IRS right now.
No.
That's unfortunate, but that's the reality. Yeah. Well, those are our thoughts for the Thursday afternoon podcast. Send us yours. Let us know you're listening. Post a comment on here. Have a great day.